But let's take a look for a moment here. We're going to start a series, and you'll see that series is called God Will Go the Extra Mile to Bless. That is our series that we're going to be spending a number of weeks on, because we are believing, without a doubt, that if Christians just follow through with what God is asking them to do, God will add blessings to your life. That word blessing, I like to just say God will make your life work out in ways that you just know that's a bona fide miracle what God is doing. Life brings challenges, but to stay under what we would say like an umbrella to keep dry from rain, you're going to see things in society that are troubling, problematic, but they should not keep you back from experiencing God's blessing. But part of that is, we know that God is so kind and so compassionate that Scripture says so clearly in Matthew 5, verse 45, that He allows everybody to be benefited. The sun comes on the just and the unjust. He takes care of the good and the evil people. But how about those that are really walking in obedience with the Lord? That's where the blessings come. So our theme is going the extra mile. We're talking now when God goes the extra mile, more than just, hey, get me saved, and okay, I think everything's going to be okay. There is so much more for God to have us enjoy and to do. So we're going to start today with prayer. We just finished the wonderful element of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And today, as you can see on your notes, it's entitled Establish Your Life with Prayer, and I'll guarantee God will bless you. Where are we going with that element of prayer? We just are asking each of you to continue on the second mile now and pray in the morning before you head off to whatever you're doing and watch what God does. Watch what God does. If you are an intermittent faster, how about an intermittent prayer-er? Let's be more consistent now, and that's where we're going. Well, I know you. You would say, Paul, you didn't bring up a joke. Well, I heard a cute one. About this guy, he was a preacher, he was in Oregon, I just came back from there, and he was going bear hunting. He said, man, I'm going to tag me a bear. All day, never saw a bear, frustrated, threw his rifle down, went to the brook to cool off, and then across he sees this grizzly, caught wind of him, and he's charging that preacher boy. And the man says, oh, dear Lord, gets on his knees, if you could do anything, turn that bear into a Christian. And the bear stops. Drops to its knees, throws its hands up, and says, God, I thank you for this meal I'm about to eat. Watch out. So, Lord, open our hearts today. Lord, what a joy for any Christian gathering like this when we come into a setting like this to remind ourselves we are sons and daughters of God. So much takes that away from us. But Lord, right now, we are yours. And open up those things that you have for us to enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the most common prayers that people pray, they ask God to bless in some way. Lord, bless me with favor. Bless me with blessings. Lord, help me with this. And I want to remind you, God blesses people. He does not bless programs. He'll bless a program because it involves people. Please, please remember, He wants to bless you. So you can ask God to bless your plans and your endeavors, but He's all about making you successful. I really do believe that, especially spiritually. But we have to take a look. What are those ways with which God brings that blessing upon us? And it's all about following Jesus. It's all about obeying Jesus. Let's look here. I'm in James chapter 1, verse 22. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this. Here it is, our key ingredient here. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Now, New King James says, you're deceiving yourselves. There's Galatians 6. Don't just go about thinking you're somebody that you're not. You're deceiving yourselves. Christians actually can deceive themselves. Have you ever seen a Christian that deceives themselves? They think, I am okay. No, don't tell me anything. They're in deception. It happens. And here's one of the ways when we hear something from God's word, we say, that's good. I like that. And apply nothing to it. See what the word says. only fooling yourselves. Goes on, says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody that forgets after you kind of prep and prim in front of the mirror, and you realize, for example, you've got this sticky rice, white grain right above your lip, and you know you need to take that thing off, and you walk away from the mirror, and you go to work, and someone says, hey, dude, you got this piece of rice right above, oh yeah, I knew I had it, I meant to take that off, and you forget to take it off. And you go to the grocery store, and the checkout said, you know what, I think there's a piece of rice over, oh yeah, I meant to take that, thanks for telling me. And you forget what kind of person you are. That's literally what the scripture's saying. God reveals things, boom, and he reveals, boom. But we do nothing about that. And the Bible says we deceive ourselves, thinking it doesn't need to be applied. But it says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That is the premise with which we are going for. We're going into areas where we want to say God wants to go the second mile with you. He doesn't just want to give you a life and an existence. He wants to really bless you. And one of these areas that we're taking a look at is in the area of prayer. One other thing he adds, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Check it out with me. He says, I will show you what it's like when somebody comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. So friends, if you are not accustomed to following the Word of God, that it's just maybe good reading material or something that makes you feel good or helps you fall asleep at night, we want to get people into the second mile with God and have him bless you because you're following. So it's everything about following. You've heard it said often here at Hope Chapel, obedience equals blessing. It's important for us to recognize that. So following Jesus is going to be very important, especially as we see these topics come up, especially next Sunday. So when we look here, Jesus is in you. We know he's that power source. He's the one that comes along and gives you that ability, that what we would say, some of us very familiar with, I've got that higher power. Jesus is it. Need to have him for sure. The first behavior, here we go, is prayer. Number one, establish your life with prayer means lifestyle. You know we've talked about prayer, specific ways to pray for family and friends. We've talked specific. But let's just talk about now making your whole life one of prayer. And so the first point, establishing your life with prayer means lifestyle. Why do we talk about lifestyle? Behavior, anything that you do in a consistent pattern becomes a lifestyle. We have to work, becomes a lifestyle. You go to school, becomes a lifestyle. You end up doing those things that you normally do, parenting areas that it's just a lifestyle that becomes you because it's a consistent pattern. But let's see what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 has to say. It says, pray in the Spirit. By the way, that's what we just did. Pray in the Spirit all at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Take a look at these two phrases. Pray at all times and on every occasion. Isn't it great to be with Christians where you just know they pray? It almost seems like about everything. Before we get in the vehicle, take off, let's pray. Before we deal with these areas, let's pray. We just got something that's brand new. Let's pray over this thing. Man, those are great people. Those are people that are spiritually minded. Yeah, we're natural people, but we're also born again of the Spirit. And to have a lifestyle of spiritual involvement by prayer is so important. So actions that are repeated will become a lifestyle. Therefore, that's why I've encouraged you to take a look. Many of you are familiar because you've been a part of our discipleship program, but a half an hour prayer with God. Each 6 items here to spend just 5 minutes, a simple explanation, and you will have prayed 30 minutes with God each morning. I'm asking, please consider praying at least 30 minutes each morning. Each of these are biblical steps. I would encourage you, set your timer on your smartphone or possibly set your little watch right by your bed. And just 5 minutes, you start off and just praise God. Audibly, it's very important. And then the next 5 minutes, listen for his voice. He will speak. I'm telling you, he will speak. You may want to get a tablet down and write it down. He will tell you things. He will tell you things, and don't be alarmed. Things that you might need adjustment or need to go back and address things in your family. Or what is the better way to make money? He knows these things, and it's just so smart. He wants to tell you. So to make a lifestyle of prayer. So that is it. Would you consider, if we get away and just have you emphasize 30 minutes and just get up just a little bit sooner and spend that time praying, will be so significant and so important. And then let's come back and see how you're blessed. Just see. Just check that out. Just see the end of the day saying, man, I had a good day. Wonder what the difference is. And I'm telling you, you were with Jesus. Everybody say, with Jesus.
With Jesus.
Man, that just even sounds good, doesn't it? So it's going to be important that we do that and consider that. So it's vital that you, two things are necessary, need to set aside time and need to set aside consistency. Time, because you're going to already have things that are pushing you to not do time. And you need to be consistent. Some days may not be all that exciting for you, but you're going to see things are going to start to shift and move in your life. And if you have a hard time with that, come to morning chapel prayer, 8 to 9. I'll be here. Come join me. It's very important. I'll be here Tuesday through Friday. But come and be a part of those things. Number two, establish your life with prayer means connecting. First was a lifestyle. Now it's connecting. I like what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, yes, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a reality. That dependency and connecting is so vital. See, mankind's been given authority over this planet. We just corrupted it by losing our bearings, by being just lost and away from God. So mankind really has an ability to really dominate this globe. But the born-again believers, wow, that's something altogether different when we get engaged with God. And one of those ways to make sure that you're connecting, steer clear of sin. Ask the Lord constantly, Lord, forgive me. That's why that third step on that sheet is just that confession time. Now, 5 minutes of confessing. I would hope it only takes you like maybe 30 seconds, but it's going to be important for you to steer clear of that, and of sin, that is. How about number three, establish your life with prayer means dependency, a dependency upon the Lord. You take a look here with me in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I like what Scripture says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, what should I do instead? Pray. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, you and I know these things, but now we're going to apply it. Now we're going to follow through with it. Now we're not going to just say, oh, prayer sounds wonderful. It sounds quite romantic. But we're going to do a consistent element to it. We're going to connect with God. You're going to see some things happening. Remember, God's going to go the extra mile to bless you, but it's going to take some of our responsibility. Just do the follow through, just what Christians should do naturally. So dependency is believing that Jesus is that power source. But be careful, because pride and dependency don't go together. People that are filled with pride or self-sufficiency, they never pray. They don't pray. I mean, we have all the reasons in the world to be quite proud here living in Orange County, quite confident in who we are, quite capable, really some talented people in this church. But that pride will rip you off from really connecting with God. Got to be careful about that. You watch out, be careful. The greatest enemy to your prayer life is yours and my pride and my self-sufficiency. I've often said, you've heard me say it, you can tell how much a person depends upon themselves by how little they pray. And we only pray when we're in trouble and needing God to intervene. I'm just saying, let's consistently pray. See how your day goes at the end of the day. Just keep it going. Keep it going. 30 minutes. Wow, before you know it, you're going to be like me. You're adding time on, and you really don't want to depart. It's like God is becoming very real, and you start to hear and see him in some unique ways. So I found it's pretty interesting. While we were in Oregon, I had a conversation with a lovely lady. She loves Jesus, but we know of her past, and she's gone through some hard situations. And she said, Paul, I have not heard God's voice in 9 years. Now, this woman's been saved for a long 9 years. And I said, wow, how's your Bible reading? She goes, I read, I force myself to read. I am not getting anything out of it. And I asked her, I said, well, what was the last thing Jesus asked you to do? She goes, I know he has asked me something that I cannot remember. I said, well, why don't you go ahead and just ask God what that is? You know, when God asks us to do something, we think it, man, no big deal. Don't do that. You're either a bona fide daughter and son of God or you're not. And if we say no to the Lord, that could be the breakdown and the barrier from you really engaging God. Maybe even enjoying things that you have going on right now. Watch out. So if God's asked you to do something, and it doesn't even have to be that big of a deal, I find where the enemy nails us is where we don't want to forgive somebody because we're so hurt. We almost relish the element of just being hurt. And God's asked you to forgive, and you won't, and you won't. So how much and how dear is your relationship to Jesus? And how much do you want God to go the next mile with you in bringing blessing? See, that's in your court. That's not somebody else. That offense, that injury, that's long gone. Now it's up to you to hear what God has to say. Number four, establish your life with prayer means warfare. Now, you and I have talked over things, but we need to just remind you, you're going to be praying, and there's going to be issues that keep you back from praying. And those things are very real. And maybe that's a new concept for some of you, that war between angelic beings and demons. You think, that's just something in a movie. Maybe it's a part of my video game. Maybe it's just something that I see in the Marvel adventures. Those things are very real. And they're active. And they're out to nail your hide, especially if you are a believer with the gospel message. Because that work of darkness does not want you to influence anybody. When was the last time you led somebody to Jesus? Think about that. Those works of darkness want to keep you relegated to that thought of how poor you are and how unable you are to do those things. Watch out. Be careful. Those things are very real. And the Bible is crystal clear that God and Satan are in opposite corners. And Satan is against anything of God and anything of God's purpose. So he is working at and against you. And it's very real. You've just got to know that. My best benefit would you to just be alert by praying every day and walking in that covering of blessing like an umbrella. You're just enjoying life. And the world could be really being nailed, but it's not going to come your way. Don't give up on praying. I like Daniel, and I'll just bring that up briefly. In Daniel chapter 10, it's interesting because in Daniel 9, a great book, Daniel talks about, God says he's highly loved, but Daniel wants to know when is God going to bring Israel back into the promised land there, because he saw something that Jeremiah the prophet said, after 70 years, I'm going to bring the captives back. And he says, Lord, when are you going to do that? And that's where you and I studied in our Wednesday group. Remember that? Jesus and the Second Coming. We were taking a look at the 70 weeks, and that's right there in Daniel 9. But Daniel chapter 10, God comes with a messenger. His name's Gabriel. And listen to what's going on here. Let me bring that up to show you the battle that's going on over your family. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince and the kingdom of Persia. Now, that's pretty bizarre. Those are things you'd probably want to see in a movie, but that's very real. Works of darkness are battling against God's kingdom over your home. I had a person in Oregon. You know, there's a lot of spiritual people in Oregon. They just don't have Jesus. And one person was asking me, do you think that evil spirits have jurisdiction over properties? I said, yeah, it's a lot of biblical grounds for that. And so it was interesting to share that. And this person was literally saying, well, my spouse was walking the property, and he said that something entered him, and he hasn't been right ever since. So it's amazing how jurisdictions, both of God's angels and works of darkness, can have jurisdiction over properties, cities, even countries. They are all about causing havoc in politics and in nations and issues. And usually you can tell when that's happening because fear will come upon you. Fear will hit you. What should we do? Maybe we'll stock up more food. So you can see that those things want to throw you into fear that you have no power, you have no right. So we're just wanting to remind ourselves, you're going to be praying and things are going to be great because those oppressive things are going to lift. You're going to hear more from God. You're going to walk in blessing. But more importantly, what I really like, you're going to help people. You're going to be more in tune to and more aware of what people are going through and able to help them. Quick facts, just want to throw it out there. Spiritual conflict, quick facts. More than I can have time, but it's important for us, case this is first run out of the gate. But Satan and demons are fallen angels, and they oppose the purpose of God on planet Earth. Just want to throw that out there. There is a battle for geographic and political control over Earth and humanity. It is a battle for the souls of men. Also, demons and angels can have geographic assignments. Some have very little strength. All they can do is just traumatize a person. Others can act in wild ways. I was in Tijuana, and I was talking with one of our Foursquare pastors. And he said, Pastor Paul, there is nothing but gang violence here and just alcoholism, just rampant. He said, just last night, he said, there is a pack of wild dogs over here, a pack of wild dogs over there in the main street. There are 7 and 8, and they both went after each other. And it was one big gang fight of dogs. He said, that spirit controls people, controls animals. I'm telling you, they're very real. And so just to heighten your awareness that not everything is just natural, Ephesians 6:12 says you don't wrestle with anybody in this room. So you have to be very careful about that. And be prepared by just spending time with God. He's protecting you. Look at you're here today. But there are other people's lives that are at stake. So our prayers play a part of God's plan on earth and in the warfare between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And our prayers matter. They really do matter. It's important to God that why he would want us to pray and intercede, he just does, because man has authority over this planet. But friends, you can do some great things. You can be mountain movers, but it's going to have to take you to pray for God to bring that extra mile of blessing upon you. Oh, the joy, the luxury. To know that God used you in areas of prayer one day. It just makes you feel so good. It's like, wow, that was a great prayer meeting. And then you start to see answers from the news. Like, whoa, what is going on? It's wonderful. Check it out, Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. We need to pray for our communities. I can't do this alone. We're getting up and ready for Easter. We're excited with our local churches that are happening here, but we can't do this in a natural area. We need people praying. Huntington Beach really needs to be touched by God. It really is kind of like a Sleepy Hollow to some extent. But we've got some drugs that are going around that are really annihilating people's lives. And we really need to take a look and say we're going to come against that work of darkness that wants to eradicate human lives, some even before conception, just to destroy life. So let's take a look here. It's interesting. Ezekiel 22:30, God was looking for somebody to stand in the gap and pray. And it says this, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness. Lord, put that wall of righteousness up over our city, over each of our home, that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. So God pushed Israel out of the land. He was looking for just one person to pray. One person put up that wall of righteousness. One person. Amazing, isn't it? You think, I think people pray. Some people, they pray, but they're not connected to Jesus like you are. They may be praying to some other deity. It's amazing what's going on out there. So I'm just asking you once again. We're seeing God's wanting to bless the second mile. And what's our first step? To pray. Yes. To pray. How? If you're not used to praying, take this half-hour sheet. Get up 30 minutes early. Spend some time with God. Get your hot coffee or tea going. Whatever it takes to get you motivated to shake the dust off your boots and get praying. And then see what happens at the end of your day. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to build lives here in this city. But I don't want to feel like we did it because we're so smart or somehow we got a nice setting or it's just so in palatial palace of a home you have. We want, man, the Spirit of God to make the difference. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Well, let's take a moment and let me pray right now before we go into communion. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we've really had a delightful time with you. And we want to thank you, Holy Spirit. It's been a good day for us and a great setting for you and us. So, Lord, we welcome your presence. We want to thank you, Lord, as we reflect on what you have done, Almighty God, by sending Jesus to die for us on the cross. And Jesus, we want to thank you again for sending the Holy Spirit to empower us to live out this life for the glory of God. So, Lord, be honored. And may what we talked about with regards to a consistency in prayer, Lord, move our hearts. Lord, pull back powers of darkness and maybe our old patterns that we think we just need to do and have to spend time doing, but we know we need to pray. Lord, we lay certain things at your feet to say for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, we'll give areas up so that, Lord, you can use us. Use Hope Chapel. Use our guests who are here. Use our online audience. Lord, may America start to see a breakthrough from Washington, D.C. through each of our states, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Sean's going to lead us in a song, and I'll be back to lead us in communion. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.